been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is 3/3/22. It is the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Keit in the house again today with us from Gunderson Capital Management. And
good morning, Bill.
Not a bad start. Good morning. Not a bad start, but it is weakening a bit here. The Dow up 128 right now. Oil prices are going down today, and I'll talk about that in a minute here. The Dow is right at 34,000, and just looking at a chart of the Dow, it's been putting in a pretty nice bottom. I think it's kind of gotten used to Ukraine and what might happen there and what impact it might have on the earnings and our economy, etc. The market is always looking ahead. The S&P is up 11 today, 4,397. Let's call it 4,400. The S&P 500 had a pretty nice day yesterday also. Now, the NASDAQ, on the other hand, is down 30 after a pretty decent day yesterday. Maybe interest rates are headed back up. I imagine they are, and that's probably, you know, that was kind of weird that tech thought, oh, interest rates are coming down. Yeah, they're up 2 basis points. We're back up to 1.89 after that big plunge in interest rates during the invasion of Ukraine. And we've got oil prices coming down today. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I've heard some rumors that we're going to turn to Iran for oil. That was coming across a couple of news feeds here this morning. Crude oil is down a dollar to 109.65. Small caps down 0.5% today. Gold up 640 to 1928. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Keit, chartered financial analyst. Barry, I sent out a message to all of our subscribers and clients yesterday that from a technical standpoint, there's a pretty nice bottom now that has formed after the plunge, obviously, a number four downtrend is kind of now turning into a number one sideways trend. And that's a good sign. And the forward PE of the market has come down to about 18 to 19, not the 23 that it was. And, of course, yesterday the Dow was up almost 600 points. Energy was just going through the roof, energy stocks. And they're coming back a little today as oil prices fall. The banks yesterday came storming back as interest rates went right back up like we thought they would. And commodities, wow, I'm telling you what, that inflation story is only getting hotter. The tech sector's built a nice bottom, and I think that maybe that flight to safety is over. I think the shock of Russia moving into Ukraine, the market is now at least dealing with it, and there seems to be a lot more stability in the market today. Now, the rumor I heard, I saw it on a couple of news feeds, and I don't know how reliable it is, but I wouldn't doubt it, okay? You know, we get, we're still buying 640,000 barrels a year from Russia of oil. And, of course, everybody seems to be turning their back on Russia, and rightly so. American companies are leaving Russia that have any kind of exposure there. We had, you know, several of the oil companies had joint ventures with the Russian gasoline and oil companies. And, of course, a lot of companies aren't going to sell to Russia. They're going to try to lay siege, in a way, to Russia. And I would think part of that plan eventually has got to be to stop buying their oil but a lot of countries are dependent upon their oil. And we get, I think, about 6% of our overall oil comes from Russia. And I saw some news feeds this morning. I haven't verified them yet, that we're going to turn to Iran. Now, you know, they've been under sanctions, their oil. But, you know, that would be part of the nuclear deal that is being hashed out, would be to take the sanctions off of Iran oil. And we would turn to Iran for oil. I don't think that's wise myself. I think unwise.
I guess, what is it, though? I guess that, would they consider it at the current time the lesser of two evils? I mean, it seems, it would seem just to increase production at home, I guess. I don't know.
Are we going to finance Iran's development of nuclear weapons? When we could turn to Canada. Okay, Canada is our biggest trading partner. Canada has more oil than Iran has, and we've already got a pipeline that would go right to the Cushing storage tanks in Oklahoma, Cushing, Oklahoma, coming from British Columbia, and that's that Keystone pipeline, which is on again, off again, on again, off again. Trump turned it on again, and then the first day in office, Biden turned it off. It just seems to me, I'm just talking about from a logical and wise point of view. I lived through the 1979 oil embargo when we had to ration and we had to wait in line a long, long time for to fill up our cars, and it was odd day, even days, depending on your license plate. That was all caused by Iran. Why we would turn to Iran for oil, just, you know, it would make no sense whatsoever. We were told, hey, buy American. Well, you know, Canada is part of the American continent. They're a lot friendlier. We've already got this pipeline that I don't know how much more it would take to finish it, but it goes right from British Columbia to Cushing, Oklahoma. I don't know. Some of the choices that we make these days don't make a whole lot of sense, but it is bringing oil prices down a little bit. We're only at $109 a barrel today, Barry. So go fill up, all right?
Yeah, right. Now's the time, huh? Jump on it?
Yes. Well, the jobless claims hit a two-month high. Not sure why that's happening, but the jobless claims went up to 232,000. The Bank of Canada, I think this is a pretty big story that flies under the radar a little bit. They boosted their interest rates 0.5%. That's a big move, 50 basis points. Canada's central bank hikes its overnight rate by 0.25%. Oh, I see. It's a quarter. Now it goes to 0.5, which is what we would do. If we go a quarter, we're pretty much in lockstep with Canada. And we're hearing, Jerome Powell said it yesterday. He says he's not going to do 50 basis points. Maybe the invasion of Ukraine has something to do with it, but he said he favors a 25 basis point hike. So that has the market happy, I suppose, a little bit. And he also said yesterday that it's time to move away from highly stimulative policy. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, but he did give...
I feel like he's already said that in some form or fashion.
Yeah, so that's nothing new. So 25 basis point rate hike at the March meeting, which I think is next week. I'm not sure. 2 weeks from now, next week. Don't we still have one more inflation report?
I know, for my birthday a week from today, we get the CPI numbers. So.
Buy your cake. Maybe
yes,
there's,
buy,
I saw
buy
the
a cake now.
The cake futures at Costco are rising considerably because there's a lot of wheat in that cake. There's definitely going to be a rate hike. Inflation, I think, is going to come in even hotter than the January CPI. So you get the CPI on your birthday. Well, I'll remember. Yeah, maybe I'll have to recognize you on your birthday. I'll remember when the CPI comes in hot. Barry turns a year older.
Yeah, we've got a busy next Thursday. You got initial jobless claims. We've got CPI.
And your pay will go down on Thursday because everything costs more.
Right?
You still make the same, but everything costs more. Well, let's see. The Fed's Ballard. Fed needs to follow through on rate hike promises. Well, thank you for those promises, you know. But it does happen. This inflation thing is not good at all. I'm just seeing it almost everywhere I look. The Fed's Evan says inflation must be tackled by monetary policy. Well, you know, I mean, I studied economics, too. I didn't get a CFA degree, but there's two ways to attack inflation. Monetary policy, which is the Fed, or fiscal policy, which is taxes. And Fed's Evan says monetary policy is the way to go. But I've heard a few different things from our government here recently. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Keit. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow up 94 right now, but the NASDAQ has gone negative. The NASDAQ is now down 86 points. I think those rising interest rates probably have got the NASDAQ worried once again. Okay, let's go back to the Fed's Ballard continuing his hawkish stance on inflation. He's one of the outspoken guys, James Ballard. He says that the Fed needs to follow through on its promise to raise interest rates or risk squandering policy credibility. All right. So, I think we can pretty much expect a rate hike.
Yep. And that's in 2 weeks, by the way. It's in two weeks. Yep.
Okay. And, of course, you know, that big sell-off in the financials, every once in a while you get one of these events that creates a buying opportunity. When the interest rates plunged 2 days ago and the banks plunged because of the big flight to safety in the bond market, it sent interest rates plunging, and it sent the banks plunging. And, of course, yesterday the interest rates came right back up what they lost on Tuesday. And you saw a huge rally in the financials yesterday. And, you know, when something gets oversold and way beyond the mean, that can present some good buying opportunities. And yesterday it was the financials and the oil stocks that led the rally. The oil stocks are very quiet today. But I did see the crude inventory falls unexpectedly. OPEC is not ramping up their production. We continue to buy oil from Russia as of now. And, of course, China buys a lot of oil from Russia and Iran. And there is talk that we may replace Russian oil with Iranian oil, but that would necessitate that Iran nuclear deal being signed. That would be part of that. But I don't know. That's just a story I saw this morning from a couple of different newspapers. We'll see if that comes to pass. Well, yesterday, the oil and gas stocks surged. Crude hit $112 a barrel. $112. Remember when it was negative?
How was that? I was talking to me and a client were talking about that yesterday. And, you know, it's in, of course, you know, you look back, right, and it's like, are we going to sustain oil, say, at, you know, above 100 for a long period of time? You know, likely not, just because it worst comes to worst, right? You know, it's going to make more incentive to pump more.
Right.
At least somewhere. If it's not here, it'll be in Saudi Arabia or somewhere else with prices like that. But then, you know, also on the flip side of that, right, having a barrel of oil for, you know, $0 or negative, of course, was, not going to last very long either, but it's the, you know, kind of both sides of those coins are just, you know, this business never seems to, never a dull moment, you know.
When you thought you've seen it all,
right.
you ain't seen it all.
Right.
Now, let's look at the ETF, USO, which is the exchange traded fund corresponding to the spot price of oil. Back in the year 2020, during COVID, it got down to $16 per share. That's when oil went negative. Now today, that was one of the great buying opportunities of all time. Of course, we were buying other stuff that did well, but if you'd have bought USO at 16, today it's 76. That's about a 500% move in oil, just the commodity. Yeah, we got to remember there's different ways to invest in oil. You know, you can buy the oil producers, you can buy the oil equipment, drilling companies, you can buy just the commodity itself, oil. There's pipeline stocks, so there's all kinds of different ways. But if you were just buying that commodity, oil, through an ETF, it's kind of hard to buy physical oil. Barry, I don't know how many barrels would fit.
I've got two here. I can only fit two in that.
Yeah, in my backyard. But you can buy an ETF, you know, and control some barrels of oil yourself. From $16 in 2020 to $76 today. Okay, let's see what else we got. Eni is the Italian oil company. They're going to exit their pipeline joint venture with Gazprom. They're joining the Western Exodus from Russia. That's another thing you got to look at, is what's going to become of the economy in Russia. You would think it's just going to be stomped. And let's look at Eni. That's been a pretty hot stock. That's an Italian company engaged in exploration. Of course, in Europe, they're big oil producers. I have a list here of the biggest oil producers in the world. In Europe, it's pretty much Norway. Let's see. In Europe, Russia's the eighth biggest stockpiles in the world, underneath the ground there. And then the biggest European one is Norway. Number one, and then you got to go clear down to the United Kingdom. Number two, I don't know that Italy's number three in Europe.
And a lot of those are in the ocean, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. So. Ukraine's number four, and then you go clear down to Spain. You know, guess who's the number? And then Germany, number one in the world by far, is Venezuela. 18% of the oil reserves in the world are in Venezuela.
Yeah, it's because it's been hard to get them out of the ground. You know, anytime.
Yeah, and then the communist government has completely screwed it up. They can't even run a ship.
Well, remember, I mean, Exxon spent that money on those offshore. I remember the story where they had the offshore rigs. And then, of course, I think Chavez was still alive at the time, and then took over the platform, of course, and then a lot of the oil is in the ground because there's been a problem getting it out. No one wants to invest. No one wants to invest over there to actually pump it out.
No, Canada's number three. I say that's where we should turn to Canada, because you don't have to ship it. I mean, this is just stupidity to ship oil from Iran when you could be getting it from Canada without crossing the ocean.
I've kind of always viewed it as hoarding, almost like I've always thought of, short of alternative energy, I've always thought of us as kind of hoarding our oil underneath the ground and using everyone else's, and then
after
the fact, right, you've got your own, but that's not really the point of a strategic oil reserve.
And I mean, if it's environmental issues driving all of this, why is it any less harsh on the environment to get it out of the ground in Iran and ship it across the ocean than to get it out of the ground in Canada and not ship it across the ocean?
Right.
Yeah, the effect on the planet, you know, I'm just trying to think logically here, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of that in the world today. In the meantime, coal prices have just broken the it is all-time high on coal prices. All right, well, we'll be right back. There's a lot going on in the world. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. The Dow up just 28 points right now. NASDAQ down about 100 points right now. Let's not forget that the United States is number 11 in the world in reserves. We have about 2% of the reserves around the world underground in the U.S. We could always turn to Texas. I think Texas would help out if we asked, and North Dakota I think would help out with the Bakken shale up there.
Yeah, and it's important to note that's discovered, right? So if you're
yes.
you know, you can go explore, right, and potentially find more reserves, right? Whether it's, you know, underneath the Gulf of Mexico, Atlantic, or you know, some national park in the U.S. So
Iran would be my last resort.
Right?
Russia would be Iran would be my last resort. You know, I just don't. I lived through the oil embargo and know what can go on over there. Well, okay, back to news on the market. Let's see what else we have to talk about. This coal thing is just unbelievable. I think, you know, I mean, these coal prices, it seems to me, in California, I watched them close down two nuclear plants. They closed down the San Onofre, which was just north of us, and then they closed down the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant up by Morro Bay. Now I see they're going to put wind farms. They want to put wind farms instead of the nuclear power plants, and they want the taxpayers, they want the utilities to pay for it. But of course, that would send rates soaring on, the people on your utility bill would soar, on that. So in other words, you know, the taxpayer would pay for replacing nuclear. Now in Europe, they're going the other way. I've heard several of the European leaders saying nuclear is the answer to the natural gas plants that they're building. France is really for nuclear.
Well, they're the best. Yeah, they're one. I mean, they're the biggest exporter, I think, of nuclear power in in the world. I've looked at this prior, and the problem is how long it takes to build a new nuclear plant, right? There's only a certain number of companies that know how to do it. Most of them, I believe, are Dutch, if I'm not mistaken. And they've got a backlog that, you can sign up for your nuclear plant for 2027. You know, it's kind of like signing up for the Tesla Cybertruck.
Fishing boat, a little fishing center console boat. It takes longer to get than a nuclear plant. But no. The other one that Germany, I don't know if they've changed their mind, but they were planning on decommissioning all of their nuclear power plants. At the same time, Russia's playing with their nuclear energy, their natural gas, I mean. There's just poor planning, very poor planning.
Yeah, at this point, I think you got to keep all your options open, you know?
Yes.
And
here's
those
the story.
Prices are, pushing through.
Total Energy, which is a European company, says it has become a joint venture partner in the Castle Wind project off the coast of Morro Bay in California after acquiring shares previously held by Germany. Well, I know all about Morro Bay. My father and I, we used to take our little center console boat up there back when you could get center console boats and launch it there at Avila. There's a boat launch right south of Morro Bay. We would have it lifted into the water there. and then we would turn the corner, go north, and go salmon fishing right off of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. And we caught some beautiful salmon, you know, slow trolling and everything. That's a great area up there for fishing, and but they want to put wind farms now off the California coast of Morro Bay. Duke Energy to seek rate hikes, this is the next story, helping cover cost of adopting renewables. Okay, so they want to raise Duke Energy's in North Carolina. I'll tell you who else was for it. We were building a nuclear power plant here in South Carolina. We have one, right?
Oh, well, I think we do. I know the one that was and this was kind of right when I moved here, and probably kind of around when you first got here. It was already
very controversial.
But yeah, I mean, basically they were, you know, had all this money to build a nuclear power plant. I think they started building it, and then basically the whole thing fell apart, and essentially, you know, the bad loans that were generated from it, you know, the fight was they were going to be passed on to customers, me and you, by the way, in terms of, you know, our power here in, you know, where we live. And, you know, it was some big, you know, there's a big controversy. I don't know if they're ever going to start it back. But, you know, in terms of, you know, us paying for it, you know, I believe part of our power bill has to do with some of that.
Yeah, it was a big boondoggle, naturally. They usually are. But I know that I saw our representative from South Carolina is number two behind Pelosi, Jim Clyburn. And he is for. I saw him on the news yesterday. He said he's for nuclear. U.S. wheat powers the 14-year peak on Black Sea supply shortages. That is a problem for Europe. That's another problem for Europe. And it's another problem for inflation. I can't believe 14-year highs as shipments out of Ukraine, obviously, come to a virtual standstill. And Ukraine is one of the world's breadbasket regions. According to Reuters, the most active wheat contract recently was up another 5.7% to $10.40 for a 1/4 per bushel after earlier peaking at $10.59 per bushel. It's the highest level since March 2008. European wheat futures also surged, with the spot March contract on Paris-based Euronext rising to a record high. This is wheat, a record high, because a lot of wheat, up to 30% of global wheat exports are now more or less cut off from the market.
And that's one of the stickiest commodities, by the way. I was looking at this, some info in terms of, you know, of this commodity boom, right, in terms of because of the invasion, right, whether it's oil, natural gas, corn, wheat. Wheat's actually the one that you know, commodity experts are considering to be the most sticky in terms of being, you know, staying high for longer, just because if, you know, it's going to be the toughest one, right, to kind of, you know, re-up, right? Even if, let's just say, you know, Russia leaves Ukraine tomorrow, right? Well, it's going to be the one production piece that takes the longest to kind of, you know, turn back on, right? You've got to grow it. You've got to harvest
it. You've got to wait an entire season.
Right. And so that's, you know, so we kind of, you know, kind of envision these wheat prices, to stay higher for longer, even more, you know, even potentially more than oil, because at least there's other, you know, other sources, right, where you could potentially get that oil at some point.
Let's not forget there's a lot of grain-based beverages out there that the world drinks, too.
Yeah.
Anheuser-Busch is saying that, it's just going to have to pass the price on, able to raise prices, these higher costs. Now, if that's not enough, Canadian rail workers are threatening to strike, creating further risk to the fertilizer supply. What?
I mean, this is just turning. This is every day. I look at the fertilizer prices. We're going to have to start calling this the fertilizer show.
Canada. Well, a lot of people do. They use a different name, but Canada produces 40% of global potash. U.S. farmers source the majority of their potash from Canada, according to the good old Canada. There's the fourth biggest oil producer in the world. There's the biggest producer of fertilizer in the world, and also timber, lumber, and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
But 3,000 workers at Canadian Pacific had voted to strike by March 16th if their demands are not met. A rail strike in Canada ahead of the spring planting season could spell disaster for U.S. farmers and further squeeze food prices. Well, I would say that those workers have quite a bit of leverage there. Domestic fertilizer producers stand to benefit if the strike ensues. Mosaic, CF Industries, and Nutrien. Boy, we talk about those daily on the show.
I think we own all three of those.
Nutrien sponsors our show. This show is brought to you by Nutrien Fertilizer. The news comes as wheat prices hit a record level and edible commodities across the board are all setting record highs. I'm just warning you. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back with the stocks popping off the tables here today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, we'll see where President Biden turns. He's being pressured heavily to target Russia's energy sector and quit buying oil from Russia. I just hope he doesn't turn to Iran. I was reading some stories this morning that that's where he's going to turn. They turned to Canada, Texas, North Dakota. I think they're much more trustworthy myself. That's just me. All right. Now, the stocks that stand out are pretty easy here today. I'm going to have to go pretty fast because I've got five. Okay, the first ETF that is hitting a new high again today is WEAT, W-E-A-T. That got down to $4 per share during COVID. Now it's $10.26. It's one of the best performing ETFs in the market. Relative strength of 96. The next one I'll do, this is one that we sold, Barry, and it's, I think you wrote it up too, and we shouldn't have sold it. Sociedad Química y Minerales, SQM, out of Chile.
Yeah, this thing, that turmoil. I mean, the election was the, you know, it dropped pretty significantly, but
it tanked. It went from 71 to 46. It tanked when they elected a communist student activist to lead Chile, a very important country. I talked about it at the time about, you know, that's another food. Big bread basket, huge bread basket. This time of year, you're buying grapes in the supermarket. Well, nobody's growing grapes in America this time of year, or peaches, or tomatoes. A lot of the fruit and whatnot comes from Chile this time of year because we have opposite seasons. When it's summer here, it's winter there. When it's winter there, it's summer here. But SQM is breaking out today. This is, you know, here's another thing. I always liked SQM because they have fertilizer. They have lithium.
Yep.
That's everything.
Exactly. They're diversified. You know, they kind of were playing off the lithium piece, and they have fertilizer. So you almost get best of both worlds, right?
Yes.
Old economy and new economy.
Yes. But, you know, I just don't trust a communist leader in running the country. I'm sure he wields a lot of power over the company. But SQM has got a relative strength of 93. PE's a little high at 32, but they reported blockbuster earnings. Okay, and then on the coal front, ARCH, A-R-C-H. Wow, that's the stock of the day. That is the chart of the day. relative strength 99, PE ratio 8, engaged in the production of steam and metallurgical coal from surface and underground mines out of St. Louis, Missouri, just blowing up today again. This stock was 70. This stock has doubled in the last 3 or 4 months, and it's a coal stock. And, of course, I mean, they want coal prices to go through the roof, so we turn to other sources, and that's exactly what's happening. But there's that, you know, there's that, it takes a while to shift away from one energy source to another, and that's causing these ones that we're using now to surge, oil, coal, et cetera. And then I got to mention Kroger, KR, which in our neighborhood, it's Harris Teeter, relative strength of 94, PE ratio of 13. You know, it's the competition in the supermarket business. There's a couple of big players now that really, Kroger's by far the biggest, that pretty much dominate the country and control a lot of the food distribution. Kroger's up 10.4% today, hitting a new all-time high. KR, just a straight-up move after reporting earnings, one of the strongest stocks in the entire market. And then I'll go with my number five with an inverse ETF, one I still like because I still, someone asked me yesterday, they sent me a question on Seeking Alpha. Bill, do you like the biotech sector at this area? I think, Barry, you know what my response was. That's my least favorite sector. It would be the biotech sector. And we have an inverse fund on the biotech sector. It's up 8% today. We've mentioned it many times on the air. LABD. And I would warn you, it's three times inverse the biotech sector. It is really volatile. You have to have the stomach for the three times funds. But, you know, I would just say that that's the sector that I'm the most bearish on. It's done pretty well. We have it as a hedge in our ultra growth portfolio, and it's done very well. I'll tell you, the other inverse fund that's having another big day today is SARK, S-A-R-K. Barry wrote up an article about SARK versus ARK. We take SARK. And SARK is up 5.3% today with a relative strength of 97, while ARK's relative strength is, let's see, is there a relative strength number there? I can't see it. Hang on 1 second. I'll go to my week. Oh, 13 is the relative strength on ARK. Well, you were right again. SARK, 97 relative strength. ARK is a 13. Okay, well, there's a lot going on in the world. I'm looking forward to a long day ahead of me. I made quite a few moves yesterday that will show up in this week's newsletter. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. I think I've led people pretty well so far this year with being inverse the right areas of the market and being long the right areas of the market. I made some strategic moves yesterday, and that'll be in this week's newsletter. And if you'd like to set up an appointment and talk with us, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. I know every time I text Barry, say, hey, can you help me do this? I'm meeting with people. I've got appointments with people. Keep him busy, especially you want to book a full day of appointments on his birthday. When's your birthday?
That's on a week from today. So
okay.
Get on the list.
Yeah, he wants to work till midnight with appointments on his birthday. All right, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite, the Best Stocks Now show. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.